I'm Anna Sale, in for Leonard Lopate today. Eric Dufaux's new play called Year of the Rooster is the story of an epic cockfight. It's a hilarious, exhilarating comedy with all the elements of classic drama, Greek drama, tragic flaws, human hubris, heroic daring, and the wrath of the gods. It follows the story of Gil Pepper, who works at a McDonald's in the Midwest, where he surreptitiously steals condiments for his aging mother that he lives with. But his passion is training Odysseus Rex, a steroid-loaded, half-crazed fighting rooster, to compete for a championship in a battle to the death. Year of the Rooster is playing at the Ensemble Studio Theater on West 52nd Street until February 1st. Joining me today are playwright Eric Dufaux, Thomas Lyons, who plays Gil, and Bobby Moreno, who plays that fighting cock Odysseus Rex. Welcome to the Leonard Lopate Show.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
And first of all, congratulations on the extended run.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So, Eric, tell me about the moment where you said, I'm going to write a play about cockfighting and I'm going to have a person play the rooster.
Well, I grew up in rural Massachusetts, and animals were really a big part of my life. We had dogs and rabbits and horses across the street from us. And a lot of my plays featured talking animals because I think it's something that is better done in the medium of theater than any other medium.
Tell me about that.
Well, I think it's because in theater there's this suspension of disbelief where we can see something and place a symbol onto it more easily, right? So when you look at Bobby playing a rooster, he's simultaneously a rooster and a man. And there's like a leap, a mental leap that I think is much easier to do in theater than anything else. Even though I love Babe, Pig in the City, big
sure.
fan of that, but
not the same effect
not
as
the
theater,
same.
That's the case you're making. Bobby, tell me about your opening monologue when you come out on stage and you're telling the audience what the source of your rage is.
Well, it's kind of that double thing of like looking at a rooster and putting human emotions onto them, which is what Eric is doing. So Odysseus is hurting every day. He's hurting and he doesn't know why, and he thinks it's the sun. And so his crow in the morning when he wakes up, he sees the sun, he crows at it. It's really an attack on the sun, and it's a challenge to the sun, saying, come on down, let's fight, so we can finish this and end this tormented pain that he's going through. So it's sort of like that double, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the play on last Saturday night, and I don't think I'll ever hear a rooster crow again without hearing just unadulterated rage. you have brought that into my life.
Yeah, well, you're welcome.
Eric, cockfighting.
Yeah.
Why a play about cockfighting? Was there a lot of that in rural Massachusetts?
So much. Well, it's actually, I mean, really, cockfighting is it's a lot more, it exists a lot more than you think. But the reason that I guess I became initially interested in it, I read this book called Some We Love, Some We Hate, Some We Eat, Why It's So Hard to Think Straight About Animals by this anthropologist, Hal Herzog. And a big part of the book is just this strange, somewhat hypocritical relationship that we have with animals. And the best section, in my opinion, is a chapter that focuses on McDonald's factory farming and cockfighting and questions which is the more moral of the two activities. And I read that and I was immediately compelled and I immediately wanted to know more about this world and to live in the world.
So, Thomas, you play the character who works at McDonald's.
I do.
And is involved in cockfighting.
Mm-hmm.
You also come from Oklahoma.
I don't.
You don't come
actually,
from Oklahoma.
That would be Denny Bess, who plays Dickie Thimble. He has
Where do you come from?
I'm from the Midwest. I'm from a suburb outside of Chicago, and I did not grow up with the subculture of cockfighting, but plenty of rural areas I'm familiar with.
You know, I was a little nervous coming to the play. I'm from West Virginia, so I quickly get my back up when
I see
working class people
mm-hmm.
Performed in Manhattan.
Ah, yes.
How did you think about how you wanted to engage with that class element of the play?
I don't think of him in terms of class. I think of him as a soul who's getting kicked around in every facet of his life. His mother kicks him around. The girl he works with torments him, even sexually torments him a little bit. And then his rival kicks him around. Gil wants to win. He wants to win at something. And it is through the subculture of cockfighting that he wants to finally achieve that, and for a while he does, and he's on top of the world. And then he's beaten down again, but in the end decides he's not a beaten person. So it's really that journey that I'm focused on, not his class, not his education, really. I don't play him as somebody from the sticks or anything like that, because I'm too busy focusing on the prize.
There's a lot going on in the play. We for one, have this amazing rendition of a song of all 50 states, one of my favorite moments in the play.
Oh, thank you.
Channeling the Animaniacs.
Yes.
Animaniacs.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And what do you think is Gil's relationship with his rooster? What is that? What's going on between them? Who's really in control?
For the most part, Gil is in control because he's controlling his diet and he's injecting steroids into him, which only ferments the rooster's anger and pain and all that. But
just like me and Tommy's backstage relationship,
yeah, exactly. I foster his torment and pain. And
but I wonder, I was watching you perform on stage and you are emoting and expressing all of these desires and frustrations about the world.
Well,
to
I'm
the
just
character
a ham, really.
To the character played a man playing a rooster.
Yeah.
He's not talking back to you.
No.
He's talking back to the audience, but like a person talking to an animal, like I talk to my dog, the dog does not talk back directly to me. So how...
That's right. And Gil has a complete misapprehension of what Odysseus feels about him. He has a line, he's just a sweetie, after Odysseus has made a move on the dog early in the play. He's a sweetie. I feel that he's nothing but feathers and love, you know, and yet he's not. I'm completely wrecking his life. And so there's a weird disconnect there that's also very funny.
Is it hard to create momentum just as a performer when you're not engaging in direct conversation?
Guys want to help me with that?
No, I think there's an energy transfer that happens. That's apart from dialogue. I mean, a lot of the action that drives anything on stage is physical, you know? So the physical energy between us is still manifesting regardless of whether or not we're actually connecting.
Yeah, everything in the first act gets us to the fight. And there is a momentum behind that, to the training and the feeding and the injections. And boy, does it move.
Bobby, tell me about being part of a cockfight in a small black box theater.
Oh, it's
how do
so
you,
much
how
fun.
How do you pull that off?
Oh, man, me and Denny just
with
have
a plum.
A, we have a blast. Yeah, Kui win. Did the fight direction, and he's just a brilliant guy. He runs Vampire Cowboys, this amazing fight company. So it's just this like bare knuckle brawl, and me and Denny just kind of go at each other. Like, we're both big sports fans, and so we come back afterwards like good game, you know, or like we treat it like it's an athletic thing, you know, to go out and jump around. And it's just a blast. And I can, like, I get to talk to the audience, so I can actually see them, like, right before the fight, like, leaning forward in their seats, and I'm sort of yelling at them, and people are, like, looking at me, like, why is this guy yelling at us? And I, you know, I just get to throw all caution to the wind and jump.
And feathers are flying, literally.
Feathers are literally flying.
And Denny has the best entrance in the play as Bat Dolphin.
Yes, that's your foil, Bat Dolphin, yes. The other rooster.
The nemesis.
What a name you came up with there, Eric.
That's the greatest aspect of the play is probably the name Bat Dolphin.
Bat Dolphin, yeah. It gets the biggest response.
It does,
actually.
Definitely.
It's huge.
Eric, tell me about, to me, I walked out of the play and I thought, oh my gosh, this is so much about how our impulse to dominate comes from a place of pain.
Mm-hmm.
Each character at different points has a moment where they're open to being vulnerable, and then it gets smashed down.
Yes.
What are you trying to say?
Well, I mean, it's hard to summarize it in a simple, succinct sentence or anything, but I think one of the reasons that people respond to the play and respond to both Tommy and Bobby in it is that, as you said, there's a simultaneous vulnerability and need to dominate. And, you know, Odysseus the rooster, his anger just comes from confusion because his life is horrible and he doesn't understand why he's in so much pain. And there's a similar parallel with Gil in that, in the same way that he is tormenting this rooster, he, you know, the forces of fate, the great Greek forces of fate, are tormenting him, and he doesn't know why. So I think there's this great question of just like, why is life such a struggle that both of them express? And sadly, the only way to overcome that is through trying to become the most fierce, frightening creature that has ever walked the earth.
And that's a kind of male story.
Yes.
So I was interested to see that you also include a female character.
Yes.
Who goes through that very same arc.
Yeah, that was really important to me as well. And I think that the play is traditionally hyper-masculine, but I think that doesn't mean that... That doesn't mean that the
thank
women...
You.
That,
yeah,
that,
thank you very much.
Yeah, it's all these guys. Yeah, it's all the testosterone that's pumping through these two.
Okay, thank you.
But it was important, I think, to explore that kind of... The struggles of that hyper-masculine attitude for both men and women. It makes it more complex.
And Bobby, tell us a little bit about the love story in the play for you, for Odie, Odie the rooster.
That actually came in after we did the first workshop of it a couple of years ago, and I guess Eric and the artistic team felt like there needed to be one more step in Odie's journey, and that step was the breaking down of all these walls he had built up of anger and pain. And it's like the funnest scene to play because it just throws a complete curveball at the audience, like, you know, three quarters in, to be like, whoa, wait a minute, this bird is not the bird that we thought he was. Like, there's, you know, some more there to him than just anger. And it kind of, you know, is interesting because then maybe every person that you come across that is a quote-unquote angry rooster has a little bit of a love story in them, if you could just find it, if you find the way to get to it, you know. I just love that scene so much.
Yeah, and we won't give away too much because there's probably a lot of angry roosters out there who want to be surprised by that arc.
Good point.
Eric, this was part of the Ensemble Studio Theater's mm-hmm. Young Bloods
yes.
series, so you are officially young.
I'm officially young.
How old are you?
I just turned 26.
You just turned 26. Congratulations on your success
big
playwriting at 26.
Thank you.
Did you ever imagine that you would get these incredible reviews for this play about something that sounds a little, hey, I know what we'll do, cockfighting with a human playing the rooster?
Well, I always had a lot of faith in the play and the actors involved who were involved from an early stage, and the director who was involved in it, John Gianpietro, who's a genius. So in that regard, I always loved the play, and I always felt strongly about it. I do. I mean, I really have to.
I can hear Eric laugh if he's in the audience at every performance.
I'm so annoying. I think it is the funniest play in the world. But, I mean, I think so much of the credit goes to Ensemble Studio Theater and Youngblood. I mean, they took the play through every possible step, and they supported it with so much. And just as a whole, you know, the program Youngblood is, I think, exceptional in terms of giving resources and an outlet to young playwrights who would never have it otherwise. So I think so much credit goes to them.
Thomas, what was your favorite part about this role?
Oh, my favorite part of this role is when he wins. You know, there's a part in the play, without giving it away, where he wins. And that winning reaches an apex with the 50 States That Rhyme song. And then he has an interview with Cockfighting Quarterly. And he's never been happier in his life. It's in the script. I guess that's it. I don't know. I also like being kicked around. You know, that's fun, too. I also like to point out how wonderful our director, John Gianpietro, is. Can you tell that he also directs operas?
I can. And what was it like? One thing about Gil that kind of, you know, underscores that he's this underdog. You see him in his opening
I don't pay him as an underdog. We've had two reviews that have called Gil a sad sack. I don't play that at all. I play him as a guy trying to win, and I let everything happen to him. but I try not to ask the audience for sympathy.
Your first introduction to the audience, however, is you sort of pecking on a McDonald's cash register.
That's and a bacon, double cheese, extra cheese. Yeah.
And not just that, but you have an eye patch, and you're being bullied by your much younger woman boss.
Wow, when you put it that way.
So, tell me about the eye patch, and what were you thinking? Why did you put an eye patch on this character,
Tommy,
Eric?
You hated the eye patch.
I still do.
You hated the eye patch. You were so set. You asked me so many times to get rid of it. The reason I'm two reasons. One, there is a silly mythical illusion in there, in that Gil represents the Cyclops that traps Odysseus in the cave. And I love that. I love silly mythical illusions.
And also somebody pointed out to me that all the male characters have eye issues.
Yeah.
I've got these red rings around my eyes. Bat Dolphin is blind.
Yeah. And that's also, yeah, there are illusions to Oedipus and like blindness. And
I think Gil's got to be the first character with an eye patch who is not in any way sinister.
Or a pirate.
or a pirate.
Yeah, I'm trying
that's
to really
true.
Do something for the eye patch wearing community.
Well, I...
And I like body, like, I like when people look unusual and strange, and...
You pull it off, not just with Gil and the eye patch, but with Bobby dressed as a rooster and Odie, who we root for throughout. I've been speaking with playwright Eric Dufaux about his play Year of the Rooster. You can see it in two of its stars, Bobby Moreno and Thomas Lyons, through February 1st at Ensemble Studio Theater. More information is on our show page at WNYC.org. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for coming in.
For us, too.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.